This is KERA News. I'm Eric Austin. America has a habit of following trends that occur in one of its states, Texas. TCU professor Max Krockmal and Rice professor Steven Kleinberg recently talked with KERA's Chris Boyd about how the state's demographic shifts might be a preview of larger changes nationwide.
More than a quarter of the Texas population was under 18 years old, which is extraordinary. Max, what are the implications of that youth bulge from a political standpoint?
You know, that population is overwhelmingly people of color. And as those folks become more politically active and more sort of aware of the issues at stake, it has the potential to move the needle politically. And what we're seeing is that young people are really on the leading edge of several vibrant social movements that are really taking off in the state right now. At the same time, in our last presidential election in Texas, the percentage of the voting age population that actually turned out to vote was less than 50%. So the largest political party in Texas right now is the non-voter. And historically, young people do not vote in large numbers. So it's not clear yet which direction that will go. But in terms of political transformation, I think that the energy we see right now among young people who are engaging in the immigrant rights movement and Black Lives Matter in other struggles for justice has the potential to really upend things.
You want to weigh in on this, Steve?
It's a big part of the epic transition that the United States is in the midst of. Anglos are rapidly aging. There's 76 million babies born between 1946 and 1964 in that baby boom generation. We're going to watch a doubling of the number of people over the age of 65 in the next 25 years, overwhelmingly Anglos, and the young people are disproportionately non-Anglo. So it's a part of the central transformation, and I remind people, no force in the world is going to stop Houston or Texas or America from becoming more African-American, more Latino, more Asian, and less Anglo. So the only question that we have been given is, how do we make this work? And the critical necessity, if we're going to make this work, is major improvements in education and opportunities for kids, many of whom are living in poverty, to be able to compete successfully in the global knowledge economy of the 21st century.
Does the perception of Texas as a state where the Republican Party usually wins statewide offices has for decades now, does that keep both Republicans and Democrats from voting in larger numbers? Republicans feel safe whether or not they go to the polls. Democrats figure they can't win whether or not they go to the polls.
Probably, you know, that there aren't that many alternatives. The districts have been gerrymandered in such a way that very few contested elections take place. And as a result, neither party invests much money in turning out voters or educating voters. And at the individual level, people don't have necessarily as much motivation to go and participate. What we know is that even unlikely voters will participate in politics if they're organized to do so. If you reach that voter five times, you educate him or her about the issues, they'll come out and vote on election day, even if they have no history whatsoever of doing that.
Steve, what accounts for the fact that Black and Latino Texans have less per capita income than Asian and white or Anglo Texans?
Well, there's a whole history, of course, of racism in America that has massively redistributed income in different ways. Mm-hmm. But it's also, we become a nation of immigrants again. And it's a bifurcated immigration stream. One group of immigrants, largely African and Asian, are coming with much higher levels of education than we have ever seen in the history of immigration. Always before, immigrants came at the bottom as Italian peasants or Greek peasants and had two or three generations to go from peddler to plumber to professional. And now one group is coming with far higher levels of education than Anglos. And they are Asians and Africans because they had been banned for the 20th century from coming here and could only get here as professionals of exceptional ability, having skills and demonstrably in short supply in the country. And then you have Houston as the first large city that you get to coming from the South. There used to be an invisible line that went from Corpus Christi through San Antonio to El Paso, where Latinos stayed beneath that line. And then in the 1970s, with the oil boom and then the open, unoccupied buildings that happened and new opportunities that came, where the Anglos stopped growing and the oil bust occurred, you had a large numbers of Latinos coming with very low levels of education in doing the jobs in construction and restaurant work and personal services. That accounts for this growing inequalities predicated now more than ever on education.
That was TCU professor Max Krockmal and Rice professor Steven Kleinberg talking with KERA's Chris Boyd. Listen to more of this conversation at think.kera.org.